Welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You're listening on EWTN Radio or St. Gabriel Radio. Beyond Damascus is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. My name is Dan Dimite. I'm joined here in the illustrious Damascus studio with our good friends, Aaron Richards, Brad Pierron.
Good to see you.
And we have a special guest today, Mr. Brian O'Donnell. What's up, brother? Yeah. Good to have you in the studio.
Good having you.
This is going to be an incredible show. So for those of you who don't know Brian, he's one of the just the craziest, best missionaries the Lord could ever have. Brian,
humans,
you remind me of St. Francis of Assisi. You remind me of just a man that is after God's heart and will do anything to reach the heart of Jesus and the people of God. So this show is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. Aaron, can you kick us off in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we invite you into our conversation today.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for those people who are tuning into the show today, we pray that you'd touch them now, Lord, that you'd fill their hearts and their minds. And as we dive into today's conversation, as we hear testimony, as we hear witness of what it is that you've done in Brian's life and in our life, God, we pray that you would have invitation to do it again. Jesus, you promise freedom. You promise restoration. It's in your name. It's in your story. It's in your mission. And we pray that as we remind ourselves of that, that our desire of you would increase as you burn in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, Dan. On that topic, so I was teaching our first year missionaries this past week. We're diving into sort of a discussion in our quarter on healing and freedom. Mm-hmm. Into the topic of, it was foundations for inner healing, right? So we started with Luke chapter 4. It's the mission statement of Jesus when he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Mm-hmm. And then we get the healing sandwich, is what I like to call it. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recover sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free, mm-hmm. and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves freedom. He loves to bring us to a place of restoration and redemption. Mm-hmm. That's who he is.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we're going with today's show.
Yeah, right? Today's going to be amazing. So Brian, your testimony is so awesome. Like, you have been set free from addiction in your life, which is awesome. And mm-hmm. Jesus brings freedom to the captives. He sets the oppressed free. And there are so many people in our world today who are living in oppression and who are living as captives. And I don't think the gospel, I think a lot of times we as the church don't believe that actually Jesus can bring freedom in their lives. That we're like, well, we know you need Jesus, but you also need this like recovery program and you need this and this. Not to say that those things aren't valuable or necessary, but that Jesus actually is a miracle working God who can transform people's lives, which is really exciting. So Brian, why don't you just start by sharing? So why don't we start with sharing a little bit about your ministry, and then we'll get into your testimony. So your ministry is Urban Encounter. You are seeking to like bring Jesus to the streets and urban areas, to the poor, and so just share about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we live up on the hilltop in Columbus, Ohio.
Well, what's the hilltop?
Yeah, so for everyone who's not from Columbus, or even some people in Columbus have never been there.
Yeah.
It's an area that has really been plagued by a lot of poverty, a lot of drug addiction, mm-hmm. prostitution, and you name any other vice that goes along with that. A darkness is kind of settled into that area.
And you just see it, like while you're on the streets,
totally,
you just see it.
Totally.
It's not even hidden, you know?
Yeah, even on my way here, I stopped to get gas and my heart was breaking. You know, there's a woman coming up to me, just total death, you know, just on the you don't know if these people can die at any moment. There's sirens going all the time. There's overdoses. It's just a lot of people crying out from the brokenness there. That's kind of the environment. And we see that on a day-to-day basis. We have a men's house that is on the strip called Sullivan Avenue. It's the main road that runs through the hilltop. Okay. And that's where a lot of that stuff takes place out in the open. Mm-hmm. It's just almost common knowledge that, oh yeah, big deal, drug deal. Big deal, this person's overdosing. just kind of the value for life is not there. And it's just, like I said, a darkness that is settled there. We went there because we wanted to be the light in the darkness.
Yeah.
And everything that you just said with Luke 4, we believe that. We believe that as believers, we can go in there and free people from this. And that was what we train our, that's what we train our missionaries to do. And that's the life that we live.
Yeah.
And so we also are building a women's house and we have a family house. So we, right now we have three houses and that's kind of where we are at the moment. Every Friday night we go out evangelizing. So we want to proclaim the gospel. We don't think it's enough to just be, hey, I'm a nice guy and I'm a Christian. Follow
it's
what
not
I'm doing.
Just to say, like, hey, have a good day. No, or God bless you, right?
No, I have totally been transformed in that regard, realizing the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
And to not be ashamed of the gospel. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, like Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel as the power of God for transformation, right? Yeah. For all who believe.
Yeah.
And so how can they believe if they don't hear?
Yeah. Right?
And so we go, we're very serious about that. We haven't missed a Friday night in a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty cool because we get a lot of people coming to us now from outside the Hilltop and they want to learn how to evangelize. Mm-hmm. And they come and we send them out two by twos.
So what do? You gather and you teach them before they go out or do you?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the people are, we're getting some regulars now. Mm-hmm. So, and then without fail, every week we get usually somebody new who hears about it. Somebody brings somebody. So I never take it for granted that they know how to preach the gospel. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're Catholic. You must know how to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. I've found that not to be true.
Yeah.
And so I never take it for granted. I always do a brief teaching about this is what we do. If this is how you preach the gospel in a succinct manner, it doesn't take, you know, 20 minutes of apologetics for this person to receive the gospel. This is how you can do it in a succinct manner and lead somebody into relationship with Jesus. And that's where we start. And then, you know, people mature as we don't send out much. Not everybody's a mature disciple, and we realize that people are going to make mistakes. So we, we give them a brief teaching. And we do a little bit of praise, a little bit of prayer, and then we also pray for the. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so I give them a brief little explanation of how maybe we've encountered people in the past, whether that's words of knowledge, whether that's simple prayer for healing, discernment of spirits. Hey, you are in a place where darkness is coming in on you. Discernment of spirits are helpful. We talk about that, how we can discern what God is doing and what the evil one's doing. And we hope to prepare them a little. Nobody's ever fully prepared, but when they come back, we share the good news. This is what happened. This is maybe nothing dramatic happened, but that person received the courage to act. Wow, I preached the gospel today. Yeah. I was able to actually lead somebody through the gospel. And that was a powerful moment for them.
I love just like Luke 4, it's Jesus says, I've come to proclaim the good news, right? Yeah. And then he talks about there's that proclamation and then he talks about the demonstration. And it's the, once I proclaim the good news, the oppressed will be set free. The blind will recover, right? Mm-hmm. The captives will find freedom. And so when you believe not just in proclamation, but demonstration, right?
Yeah, that definitely.
Like once you proclaim the gospel to a person, you pray for a demonstration of the kingdom of God to become manifest in their life. And so can you share maybe a few stories from the streets, right? Like you're praying with, you proclaim the gospel and then you pray for someone for God to move in their life and what happens?
Sure. One of the stories that comes to mind at first is from one of the missionaries. He was a missionary here for a couple years and I know you love him, Angelo Rivera.
Oh, yeah, we like Angelo.
He's amazing. So he became a missionary with us and he was awesome. He would go out all the time. He would proclaim the gospel and he would demonstrate the gospel. And we saw awesome things with Angelo's ministry. But one of the things that stood out to me, I'd say the most of Angelo's time there was We had this guy who was across, there was an abandoned house across the street, and I would see the guy all the time. He was a fall down drunk. I mean, he must have been drinking 20 of these tall natty daddies. It was insane how much this guy drank, you know, just fall down drunk. And he showed up in our backyard one day. We'd start these fires, you know, and they'd kind of gather around the fire and start talking to him. And I asked him if he wanted to be freed from alcohol addiction. He said he did. And so I talked to him about that. I led him through the gospel and prayed with him. And he started to come around more and more. Mm-hmm. But Angelo had this encounter with him one night. They were praying, him and another missionary, and they prayed with him. And Angelo said, "We're going to pray to break this addiction." And the Angelo made sure that he proclaimed the gospel, the whole gospel. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, very simply, you know, the world's full of sin. Sin causes hurt and guilt and shame, and people can relate to that. Like, yes, yes, totally. God didn't want it that way. He sent Jesus, his son, to go to the cross to shed his blood so that he could take that from you. And then he actually rose from the dead. People saw him, touched him. And then after that, he sent it into heaven, not so that he could leave you alone, but that he could send the Holy Spirit to live inside you, to live a life that is freed. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to do that in your life. Do you want that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what Angelo preached to him. And he said, "Yes, I want that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Angelo and this other missionary lay hands on him and prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. And the guy felt electricity shooting through his body.
Yeah.
And the guy was.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
like,
right.
Okay. Yeah. Normal.
Well, it gets better.
Yeah. Like, some days he's like, people are like, "Oh, what was that?" And you're just like, "Well, that's just the presence of God."
Yeah.
Right.
But it gets better. The guy comes back. Day one, day two, day three, totally sober.
Yeah,
totally sober. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
you know, it just doesn't happen. And like you talked about, yes, we believe in programs, we believe in all of that to walk through freedom, but we've seen it where God can take that away.
Yeah,
and we started to not see this guy anymore. He got off, I believe he got off the streets.
Yeah.
But he did spend a significant amount of time in that area. He was coming to our prayer meetings, totally sober. You know, and that's the power of the gospel, right?
Well,
and Angelo, something struck me. He said, "I've never seen a sign or a wonder flow in my ministry, or in his ministry anyways, if he didn't preach the full gospel first."
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So that's something to think about.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
I like how you say the Holy Spirit is the power that gives you the, like, he is the power that enables you to live the Christian life. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we proclaim just the Jesus part of the gospel, but we forget about the fact that no, Jesus rose from the dead and then gave us the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And it's the Holy Spirit living in us that enables us to live Jesus's life.
Yeah.
When he says, "Be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect," that's impossible. It is absolutely impossible. It's through the Holy Spirit that the perfection that's of the Father is lived. Like the peace of the Father is lived through the Holy Spirit. The love of the Father is lived through the Holy Spirit. The virtue of the Father, the goodness of the Father comes in my life through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Dan, we were even having a conversation the other day. This will border on some theological speculation, right? But
should we have a warning before this?
No.
That's good. That is the warning.
At the beginning of the show. Well, somebody was asking us, you know, there was some criticism on the fact that we were ending a prayer in the name of Jesus with the words in the name of Jesus. And, he's like, "Well, you know, what does that even mean? Is that just some like tagline that you throw on there to make something legal?
To make it feel good."
and I'm reminded in scripture that you cannot speak the lordship of Jesus without the power of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That it's possible for us to preach, you know, the words, the name of Jesus, and have them be meaningless.
Yeah.
But it's an encounter, a relationship with the Spirit that actually allows us to draw upon our sonship, to draw upon that relationship with the Lord.
That's so good.
And then in Jesus, additionally, right, he says that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. So it's an operation of faith as well, that like the Father listens for his son's name. And when I proclaim this in his son's name, the Father is in tune with it. And I love, you talk about this all the time, Brian, and I find myself as you're talking, hanging on to every word because I've heard you say before, you're like, I feel called to do what I do because I believe if Jesus was here, it's where he'd be.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing that you live that because Jesus actually is there and he's there in you. And it's because of the fullness of the gospel that you believe in, that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you and he has placed you as a light in an area of darkness that you could live like Jesus and as Jesus so that people could encounter his love. It's amazing. Yeah.
Maybe Brian, could you share, cause I think you're spot on, Brad, on the fact that like you're doing the ministry that Jesus actually did in the gospels, right? Like you're ministering to prostitutes. And I think like we read that at the gospel of mass and then we see a prostitute and we're like, oh my gosh, I can't talk to that person.
I only ministered to theoretical prostitutes. Yeah. Yeah. No, right?
Like there are these but like, you know, I remember like one time, like my brother was telling a story when he like was ministering to a prostitute and someone was like, that was the worst decision you made. Your entire career could have been ruined. Right. It's like, wait a second. Like if I'm going to do what Jesus did, I actually had to do what Jesus did. And so like, how do you, maybe you could share testimony to like times when you're on the streets, you're ministering to the poor, the addicted, the prostitute. And, cause there's so many, maybe a healing story, but also a love story, right? Yeah. Like someone who gets healed in Jesus's name and someone who just encounters love in Jesus's name.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm kind of, almost tearing up just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Cause I was at mass this morning and, the Lord was just showing me, how he put me there and it was a gift to be there. And, through that he was saying, Brian, I've allowed you, to see, the broken Jesus. And so that really strikes me, you know, it strikes me to the heart that it is a gift and that Jesus is there and is broken people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I always have to remind myself of that because it's easy to walk away and say, we all need our time. We all need our rest and all of that. And when we're there, sometimes there's not a lot of time for rest because the brokenness just keeps coming at you and all you can do is embrace it, you know? And if you're not there to see the broken Jesus, it doesn't make sense really. And so I've had several encounters, actually one of the encounters that drew me up there, and I knew that that was an area I wanted to minister. I was doing street ministry one night, and I felt in my heart that there was a prostitute that was crying out for help. You know, I told my prayer team, I said, we have to go. We have to go to this place. I don't know where it's going to be, but there's a prostitute crying out for help. And we went on Sullivan Avenue. At the time, I didn't know that little stretch, you know, was the epicenter of the sex trafficking problem up there. And so we were driving. And then I go, there she is. That's the girl. And so we pulled off to the side and the two, we get out of the car and we ask, she's got a cast on this arm and it's freezing cold out and she's got hardly any clothes on and she's shivering. And we called her over and she's walking towards us. And as she's walking towards us, she's goes, you're not going to hurt me, are you? Mm. And the two people I were with just started to minister to her. And I went back in the car and I just started weeping because of the brokenness and because of the life that she's trapped in. You know, it's here she was. She probably just got out of the hospital because she got beaten up for whatever reason. She was hurting. She was in pain. And she couldn't trust anybody, you know? Mm-hmm. She was coming towards us saying, "You're not going to hurt me, are you?" And I was just so convicted, you know, about the love of Jesus that he would love them. He would embrace them. He would tell them that you're not judged. Mm-hmm. That and so that was a real turning point in my ministry. And I love the fact that we're there to minister to the prostitutes. And it's actually one of the favorite things I have in my whole ministry is, yeah. And people might look at it and go, "What is Brian doing? Is that?" And I've gotten to the point where it doesn't bother me anymore. Of course, you know, you take precautions and all of that, but it is, there's an opportunity on a daily basis to minister, whether it's the prostitute or the drug dealer or the homeless person. Are just your average person living up on the hilltop. There is this genuine everyday feeling of, hey, they have a lot to teach me too. They're down to earth. So that's kind of, you asked about, I think, I forget what the original question was, but I hope that
Just helps. Someone experiencing love. I think it's funny because you said sin leads to shame and condemnation. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget that, and Jesus, he so knew it, right? That that person that he approached, the reason he spoke the way he did to them was because he knew that they were filled with sin and condemnation. Yeah. We don't need to condemn you. You already are condemning yourself, right? Like we need to love you. And that's just powerful.
Yeah. Jesus is just, he's so concerned with the matters of the heart that I can't help but think that Brian, just in the ministry you're doing, you're going and you're seeing these people that are living these broken lives, but you begin realizing that my heart's not that much different than theirs. It looks externally very different, but Jesus has never been one to look at the externalities. He's one who looks internally. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently. Like, is my heart that much different than a prostitute's? Like when I'm looking for validation in all of these areas that aren't of the Lord, like when I'm just wanting people to say something about me just to affirm a part of my identity that I'm not hearing from the Father, like that heart is still seeking the same thing that you're encountering. And so I wonder, like, what has God revealed to you? Like, as you look at those that you're ministering to, what has he revealed about yourself?
Yeah, well, I went to this, when I was setting up the ministry on the hilltop, my friend invited me to this talk by Father Boyle. I don't know if you ever heard of Father Boyle. He runs Homeboy Ministries in Los Angeles.
Tattoos on the Heart.
He wrote a book, Tattoos on the Heart. And I went to this talk, and if I could have just gone for this one phrase, it was totally worth it. He talked about how he went in similar situation, gang members and all this. And he said, "At first I went in there to minister thinking I was going to change the situation and the people. And then I left." By the time, it wasn't long after doing that, that he realized that he was the one that was receiving change. And so I've found that true in my own ministry. Here I was, that I went into the hilltop thinking, "I'm going to do all these things. And I'm going to make all this change," which it does happen. There's no doubt it does happen. But Jesus has shown me, Brian, you're the one who is going to be changed by this whole thing. Experiment. And I'm day by day, I'm receiving lessons from the Lord, whether it's that, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been, you know, I'm ready to go to bed and I'm saying a prayer about something, and then that knock on the door comes, and it's that person, you know, who, whatever the lesson is, you know, Jesus is speaking through these broken people.
Time for the practical. You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's show at www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts. Or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We'll be right back with this episode after a short break.
EWTN has just increased my faith so much. I am a cradle Catholic, and I thought I knew my faith very well. But when Mother Angelica passed away and it was so much in the news, I learned all about EWTN and started listening all the time. And my eyes have been opened to my faith so much.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
This is Dr. Ray Guarendi from The Doctor Is In. You call in, and we will talk about what matters to you in your life. We can put our heads together to help you solve the problems of life and to use your faith to get even smarter.
The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi, Monday afternoon, 1 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
So why don't we share just a little bit about your own life?
Like, yeah, sure.
So you grew up in a Catholic family. Why don't you share kind of your journey with the Lord and how you came to the freedom that you're living today?
So actually, yeah, my mother and father raised me Catholic. I'm an only child.
From Fremont, Ohio.
Fremont.
Yeah, Fremont. Yeah.
You did a retreat there, Dan.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah.
My mom was there.
Yes.
Getting ministered to
and
Brian's
she
mom.
Got, she got touched by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
By your ministry. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
But yeah, Fremont, Ohio, to a predominantly Catholic town, I'd say 20,000 people. And the culture was just very family-oriented, loving. I kind of almost took it for granted that this is the way people live their lives and that it's very wholesome in a sense. And, you know, but like anywhere, it has its, you know, brokenness and all of that. So by the time I got to college, I went to Ohio Dominican.
And oh, yeah. We got some OGU Panthers right here.
Go.
Yeah, three Panthers
in a Buckeye
square. But, yeah, three Panthers in a poisonous Buckeye. Nut.
Bust out my
poisonous nut.
I'll bust out my.
I like that. I'm going to use that more often. Yeah.
So, yeah, we, well, I went to school there, fell into a party lifestyle, and, you know, you could probably do 1,000 interviews and know the end of the story. You know, that's. Mm-hmm. Sin is nothing new. It's not exciting. And so I went down that path of, you know, the chasing the women, the party lifestyle, the alcohol and to the harder drugs. And by the time I was 25, I was 25 and I got in a severe car accident, almost lost my life. And I received a settlement and, I had more money, and so I started to party harder, and that led into using harder drugs. I was using, you know, very hard drugs, cocaine and acid and ecstasy and pills, all of these type things. And slowly, I was just getting worse and worse and more sick and more sick. I kind of felt that I was going to. This wasn't going to last long. I couldn't continue this life. But a real turning moment came when I was I was trying to quit the drugs. I couldn't. I thought I could do it on my own willpower. And my friend was having a bachelor party. And I thought, well, I'll go just to be a good friend, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And next thing you know, I was saying, well, it won't be a big deal if I just do a half a pill of ecstasy, you know. That is how messed up my thinking was. Mm-hmm. And so next thing you know, we're at this drug dealer's house and my friends come in and say, we got to go. He pulled a knife on so-and-so. And I said, I'm staying. You know, I have everything I need here. I'm going to continue to get high. Mm-hmm. And my friends left and I was there with this all night doing drugs into the next day. And I got home and all the shame and the guilt came, you know, Brian, what are you doing with your life? You said you wouldn't go, you're trying to quit and you're worse than ever now. Mm-hmm. And there was no doubt I had It was just a really low point. And then about a week later, I was at work. I was working the night shift. And something told me to pull out the Metro section in the paper, which is where all the crimes and all of that are, which wasn't something I would normally do. I would
always You weren't reading the Metro section every day?
Not every day. I wasn't like the grandma.
I grew up from fifth grade on reading the Metro section every day.
So I didn't get that first.
Hey, Dad, where's the Metro?
Yeah, it was always a fight for the sports page. Sports first, front page, entertainment.
Honestly, I didn't even, I couldn't have told you what was in the Metro section.
Well, you're not alone. So, but I pull out the Metro section, and on the front page of the Metro section was that drug dealer who had he had done a home invasion to steal drugs from this other drug dealer. There was an altercation, and he pulled a gun and shot the two other people in cold blood, killed them, and then him and his partner were on the run from the police, and the partner he was with pulled the gun on himself and committed suicide, and they captured the drug dealer. And I'm reading all of this, and it was like a punch in the gut. I knew that a couple things. I knew that that inspiration to read the Metro section was not coming from me. It was coming from God. And at that time, I was really didn't know what I believed. But I would say at that moment, I knew that God was there. He was seeing everything I was doing. And but the other thing that I really, as I reflect back on it, I realized that it wasn't a condemning voice. It was more of this, Brian, you know, how long are you going to continue to do this to yourself? I'm here. You know, I've saved you. I've protected you. You know, you could have easily been killed that night. I protected you. And so over the years, I've really reflected a lot on that, just of how he was so good with me, so gentle. And then that started my journey back and slowly made my way back to the church and started. That was maybe 2005 when that happened. And then I'd say by time 2008, I was already just on fire and I was discerning religious life actually at that time. So
and that's when we met you.
That's when I met everybody here.
You mentioned willpowered, and I love to kind of make the distinction between a willpowered spiritual life and a spirit-powered spiritual life. How could you, when you're thinking about the time when you were trying to fight through that, the oppression of an addiction and the willpower, how would you just make that distinction between willpower when you felt that the spirit actually was living in you and taking residence and power in your life?
Couple things on that. I'll just start with my own little experience, what happened. I'd struggled, even after I felt as if I was following Jesus, I was reading the Bible. I was going to Mass on Sundays. I wouldn't say I was fully back as far as sacramentalized or maybe catechized. There's still a lot of things I didn't know or forgot, but I was still doing my best to practice. And
was it after that Metro section day? Like you just returned to Mass?
Shortly after that, this might be, you might like this.
I like everything that you said, so bring it on.
Well, I went to this movie. It's called Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
It's
a wild movie. Yeah. And then after I came home from that movie, I was terrified because, I'd watched those kind of movies before. It never really affected me. But when I came home from that movie, I realized I kind of had that voice saying, I was like that inner voice just saying, Brian, you've literally given yourself over to demons. Like you've lived your life and you've just cared less about whatever. And you're just, these demons have control of your life. And I'm going,
that's a condemning voice.
It was
a convicting voice, right?
It was a convicting, the Lord was basically showing me, it doesn't have to be this way.
Yep. Yeah.
Like you don't, but you're still you're not doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. You're kind of just, so
yeah,
at that point I didn't know the answer. I didn't even talk to the Lord. Like, how do I get free from this? What does this mm-hmm. mean? But, every night I would go to sleep, I would wake up in the middle of the night terrified, and I'd be, you know, sweating and all this stuff. And I would look over at the clock and it would be 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
And that's the movie, right? I don't know if you remember the movie, but.
Oh, no, I just know it's the Hour of Mercy, though, right? But
it is. And, but in that movie, it's been a while, but she's particularly terrified at this time of night.
Huh. Wow.
And it's kind of like the demons, they were mocking the crucifixion of Jesus. Whoa. Because, at least my take on it, you know, that the demons were just saying, hey, this is our hour to come. And I didn't know anything how to free myself. But I did know that happened, I think, about 5 days in a row. Hmm. And every time I would look over, it would be 3 a.m. And I knew that this just wasn't a normal thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I go, what am I going to do, Lord? And just the first thing I knew to do was I'm going to go to Mass this Sunday. Yeah. That's all I know.
That's the remedy I know.
That's the remedy, and I did, and that was freedom right there. I began to experience freedom immediately. Didn't have any torment from, not to say that I hadn't been tempted since then. I'm still... You know, we undergo temptation, but not like that, not that torment or not that idea that, hey, you're ours, you know?
Yeah.
And right. I just realized, and I've come so far now, I realize, you know, they only have the authority you give them.
Yeah, right.
And, but the other thing, number two, was I would say, as far as you talk about getting free and will-powered spirituality compared to being freed by the power of the Holy Spirit and God's grace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say St. Augustine was very helpful in that. You know, I reread the Confessions again, and I think he's just a wonderful example of, you know, he says that prayer, right? Lord, make me pure, but not right now. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It's like, I want this life, but I'm not.
And that's so much, I think in our church nowadays, we have this idea that, well, as long as you know enough, you should be able to do it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. The church has always said it's grace, right?
It's all grace.
It's grace that frees you from this. And I look back on my own freedom, and I thank God every day because I realize it was a special grace that was given.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody has that same path. They might struggle with addiction for 5 years or 10 years.
The grace might come through a different avenue.
It might come through a different avenue. So I think we should really reflect on that, that we should pray, number one, pray for the grace and be patient and wait on the grace.
Yeah.
You know, so.
When was it, Brian, between experiencing that radical transformation in your own life before you felt a powerful call that you needed to minister that to others? Mm.
So I'd say through the whole process, I immediately had a compassion for those who suffered because I suffered so much. I suffered a lot of, you know, I didn't have any mental illnesses or anything, but I did suffer mental torment of, you know, suicidal thoughts all the time and just thoughts of unworthiness and just the effects of addiction itself, you know, being able to, you know, like Paul says, why do I do the things that I don't want to do? You know, I live that life for years and years and years. And to get to the point where you go, wow, I can actually, you know, I've been there. I know, I can compassionate with these drug addicts who come in and tell me again, and again, no, I'm going to quit. You see them the next day, they're high. I can compassionate with them. Yeah. You know? It's like, I don't know why I'm doing
it. Yeah.
I don't want to do it. But so I would say a real turning point came for me was when I started praying the rosary, I'd say. As you know, I'd love Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. And first time I picked up the rosary, I really felt as if I received an outpouring of graces, and it, a flood of graces. And that really made me start to think, you know, blessed mother, I want to be on, I want to be in your army, you know, I want to, I want to help others come to that same kind of freedom because I knew that it was grace. Yeah. And I wanted to be somebody who brought grace to people to that, you know, like Paul says, he speaks those gracious words to be an instrument of grace. He talks in so many ways. He imparts grace, right? And so I just felt, I wanted to do this. I want to live my life to bring as many souls as I can to to Christ. And then so that was about 2008.
You're listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to the whole version of today's show at www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts. Or check us out on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. We'll be right back with this episode after a short break.
Democratic delay. Why President Joe Biden's major spending proposal will have to wait. Border and election protection. A former Homeland Security official describes what's at stake. And health scare. A Supreme Court justice tests positive for COVID-19.
Clear, concise, Catholic. EWTN News Nightly, Monday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
EWTN Radio posts 11 podcasts every weekday and over 60 per week. They're the perfect companion for the busy Catholics everywhere. With on-demand access to audio, you can pause and pick up right where you left off anytime, anywhere, and they're all free. Subscribe by going to EWTNradio.net, then click on podcasts. They're waiting for you. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Beyond Damascus is aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and right here in Central Ohio on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
It's so cool to see your life because I think, like we're talking about here, there's just a power in that the Lord marked you in that encounter. And then he led you into mission to people who are struggling in similar ways to how you once struggled.
Yeah.
There's just an authority God has given you in and through that encounter to go be on mission.
Yeah.
And I just think, I would love to hear what you think about that because I feel in my life, the Lord often sends me into mission territory to minister to those that I see a piece of the old Brad in. I just, there's just something that God does in that. He gives you authority where he's brought victory.
Well, yeah, I think this is very fitting. I just feel the Holy Spirit moving so much in our conversation and how I was just thinking about a story I wanted to talk about, and then I didn't know how I was going to weave that back in. But then all of a sudden, Brad starts talking about this transition into mission life and Mary. And so I would love to share with you about a real turning point as far as my mission was. It was about we had just purchased the first house up on the hilltop and we were going to go live there. And I was ministering to a homeless person. It's called the Bottoms. It's not far from there. It's on the near west side of Columbus. And I dropped him off at this gas station. And as he was walking away, right across the street was this woman who was overdosing, probably from fentanyl, something like this. And this police officer came up and he was called the squad. And as I'm watching this whole scene, my heart started to break. But then also a little voice came in and started to say, "Brian, who do you think you are to come up in this area to make a difference?" And I knew that that was the enemy.
Yeah.
So I grabbed my rosary out of my pocket and I started to pray. And I was about two decades in, and the this sounded like a woman's voice speak to me, and it said, "Brian, I want you to go across the street and take some video of what's happening and say a prayer to break the demonic oppression of drugs over this area." Mm. And then I want you to post it on Facebook. And I go, so I did that, and I went, and later on in the video, the Blessed Mother is in the video. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And
it's crazy.
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
I have to see it now.
We'll show you. We'll show you sometime. But it's something I go back to often because I realize, number one, that it wasn't, it's not solely my mission, you know. This is, I really have believed, as I've studied Mary and really, you know, the lives of people like St. Maximilian Kolbe and different saints that were devoted to Mary, is that Mary is always, and all of heaven are always one step ahead. Yep. They always have a plan, right? Yeah. And they're always placing their pieces where they need to be, right?
Yeah.
And so that moment, I realized I was being placed. I was a part of heaven's plan to come in and make a difference and to free people from this addiction. And it wasn't just me. I had all of heaven there coming to my aid. Yeah. So I don't know if that really wove into what you're talking about too well, but
I guess it was an okay story.
No,
so beautiful.
Yeah, because again,
it doesn't have to weave in too. It's just sweet.
I know. Part of me, I'm just so blessed by the whole conversation because I'm amazed by your life.
Yeah,
I'm so amazed by your life. I'm so amazed by the yeses you've given, and I know how humble you are to say that they've been simple yeses. But those simple yeses have yielded fruit that are just. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's really touching.
Can we pray? And I think just because the Lord's given you just strength and authority over evil spirits, if we could pray especially for the those who are struggling with addiction.
I'd love that.
So Brian, why don't you lead us? And then guys, if you have anything, we can chime in. But of
course. Yeah, I before we start the prayer, I want to give just a really quick testimony about Dan and I were talking before the show started about the previous interview we did about 3 years ago.
Yep.
And I'd spoken about addiction, and I've had people come up to me and say, I heard that testimony and it's given me the power to be freed from addiction.
Wow. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
And
Amen.
So, one particular lady said, I met her at the Encounter conference and we prayed. And then I saw her the following year. And, she said from that moment on, 13 years of opiate addiction, freed.
Wow. Praise the Lord. 13 years.
13 years. Yeah. So
amazing.
I'm going to pray with faith. That,
I mean, I think we can have that. I think today we can have faith in Jesus' name.
And so if you're sitting there in the bonds of addiction right now, I am so happy that you're listening.
Yes.
I am so grateful that the Lord led you to listen to this. Some of you may even wonder, how did I even end up at this show, you know, finding this show. I believe that there's going to be a lot of people that just have no idea how they got here, but we're going to hear awesome testimonies. And if that's you sitting there right now, I want you to just sit back, open up your hands, and all of us are going to pray from our hearts with compassion, because each of us know what it's like, whether that's a big sin or a small sin or a big addiction, small addiction, we all know how that can take hold of our lives. And we all know what a joy it is to be freed from that.
Yeah.
And we are here for you. We are here as a brother to you, a brother in Christ, to tell you that you're not alone, that you have us. And you have all of heaven. You have special saints. Maybe even some of you are looking at a picture of a saint right now as we're praying and going, would you be here with me? And I believe that as you pray that, you're going to be amazed at what the saints, what the angels, what the Holy Spirit is going to do right now. So get ready. We're going to pray. And like we said about the Holy Spirit before, Amen. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, amazing things happen. And so we're just going to prepare you for that. Some of the things that may happen, like me, you may feel a tingling or electricity. You may feel warmth. You may feel waves coming over yourself. Mm-hmm. You may feel just a peace coming over your body. Some of you might not feel anything at all, and that's okay. So, but as we pray, just pay attention to those things. Mm-hmm. And here we go. Each one of us is going to just pray into that. Just real shortly, we'll go around. Mm-hmm. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. Jesus, send the Holy Spirit. We speak to this addiction and we command it to leave in Jesus' name. We speak to any demonic influence that has come into your life. And in the holy name of Jesus, we command you to leave. Mm-hmm. And bless a mother. Wrap your mantle around them right now with your love and your joy and your peace.
Yeah, I just as you were speaking, Brian, I felt like the Lord wanted to speak to Acts 12, where Peter is actually broken out of prison. And he's double chained and he's in this prison cell, and there's no way of escaping, at least to his natural eye. And it goes like this. It says, "Suddenly the angel of the Lord stood by him," being Peter, "and a light shone into the cell. The angel tapped Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, 'Get up quickly.' And the chains fell from his wrists." And I think the Lord's just wanting to speak that any of you who are listening, who feel like you're trapped, that you're caught, that you're imprisoned in something and your natural eye can't see a way out, I just want to speak over you right now that the Lord has a light that can shine into that place and draw you out. Yeah. And Lord, I pray that you would send your angels now, that your angels would begin tapping us on the side and telling us to get up quickly, and that we would watch the chains fall as we follow your voice and stand up. So Lord, we pray that just like you did for Peter in Acts 12, that you would break all of us out of any of the cells that are holding us back, out of any of the imprisonments that we feel in our heart. We pray that we can get up quickly, watch the chains fall, and move forward in your name, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, God sees you, and he knows your name. I was just getting the sense that what's been spoken today, we're wrapping up the year 2021 right now, and that it's going to have echoes through time. The Lord was speaking specifically that that there's going to be someone who's watching this video on July 1st, 2024. If that's you right now, and you're watching a rerun here a couple years later, God declares freedom over your brokenness. Amen. He sees you.
Thank you, Lord.
He loves you. I had a strong sense also for an injury in the left leg that God wants to bring freedom not only from addiction, but from the effects of addiction as well, from injury to your body that's happened as a result of choices and habits and behaviors that aren't of him. Mm-hmm.
Mary, I just pray your presence and your love would fall on all parents who have children who are struggling with addiction right now. Mm. The Lord's just saying, I'm with you. I see you. The Lord's saying that I've heard your cries. I've heard your prayers, and you're not alone. Those who are receiving the Holy Spirit right now, just the Lord's highlighting that he's going to give you a greater spirit that will be able to cry, Abba, Father, that your relationship with God the Father will grow. And he's going to embolden you to cry out, Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is going to become the Lord of your life, that no addiction will be Lord, but that Jesus will be Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And Father and Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Brian, if someone wanted to find out about Urban Encounter, where could they look?
UEM.life.
Wait, say that's it one more time in case that
wasn't. Wait, UEM.life.
UEM.life.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
As in Urban Encounter Ministries.life. Amen. It's our website. If you want to come to some of our events in Columbus, or if you just want to send a message, I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Happy to talk.
Guys, we're so thankful. I want to encourage anyone that has heard today's show to share this podcast with others and to encourage people to learn more about Brian's ministry, Urban Encounter, and join us next week for Beyond Damascus. God bless you.
Friends, thanks for listening to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. You can listen to the whole version of today's show by going online to www.ewtn.com/radio/podcasts or searching for Beyond Damascus on YouTube or your favorite podcast app.